Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Purdy's have just done a great job over the years of serving their customers of the Valley. Because, look, they find exactly what you need insurance-wise so that you're covered. But they do it in such a way where they've been able to find you the right price, fits your budget. Very important that they do that. And if there happens to be a claim, they act as if it happened to them. They jump on it right away. They want to give you peace of mind that you are covered. And it doesn't matter what you want. Auto, home, life, business, commercial, whatever it happens to be. Purdy Insurance has it. Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Very proud to be in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. You know, at Penn State, only three times ever, and not since 1992, has Penn State scored 2 points off the opponent's extra point try. Last time it happened was Lee Rubin blocked a kick against Pitt, ran it back for 2 points in 1992. It's the last time. Yesterday in the NFL, it happened as we pick up the call of Dave Logan on KOA in Denver.
Snap, Broncos jump over the ball, and they block the extra point, and it's picked up. Denver's running down the field. This ball picked up and running down the field. That is Will Parks. Parks into the end zone, a two-point conversion.
And they won the game by 2 points. How about that? That's our play-by-play call of the day. Steeler fans are, first of all, the Eagles played really well yesterday. We got Matt Leon on the show tomorrow. The Eagles played really well yesterday. That was a great win over Atlanta. Great win over Atlanta. But the Steeler-Cowboys game and the Seahawks-Patriots games, those are two games where the NFL can really hang its hat on the excitement of the National Football League. We know about the decline in ratings. We've discussed that ad nauseum. But those two games yesterday, I know Steeler fans don't like the outcome, did more for the NFL this season than anything else that has happened so far this year. And I thought that was important for the game. Those two games did a lot for the NFL yesterday, in my opinion. Both games exciting, both games scintillating, both games with multiple lead changes, both games well played. And not only that, but we saw a graphic representation of the two-point conversion. You didn't want to hear that, Sean.
Ugh, not for the Steelers, that's for sure. 0 for 4. Now, with that high power of offense, Mike Tomlin's confident they can get 2 instead of 1, and very rare for a team to go 0 for 4 on two-point conversions.
But if they go for extra points, they end up in that game 1 point down, right? No.
Well, if you look at the final score, yeah, it would be 35-34 if they would have hit 4 extra points. Yep.
Just pointing it out for you.
I know. Let's face it. I mean, they gotta run the table, and I just don't think they're not gonna end up with 11 wins. And you're gonna have to win your division if everything is gonna stay the way they are in the AFC West. I mean, there's a very distinct possibility. I mentioned this in the Friday picks, the picks segment last week. There'd be three teams from the AFC West alone getting into the playoffs.
How did the picks go, by the way?
Do you really want to know? Not good. You, me, and your brother, all three of us, were 3-5.
Ugh. Well, if I went 4-4, for goodness sake, I would have gained a game. So you're telling me I gained nothing. That's what you're telling me.
You and I gained nada.
Great. Fabulous. Okay. The heck with it.
But the good thing is Kevin did not extend the lead either. So your brother was also 3-5.
Yeah, but that segment's being canceled. No.
Kevin's five close personal friends in the Northeast that have tuned in for must listen radio.
I know.
Crushed by this news.
I know. I'm going to see him face to face over the weekend. So.
Yeah, Kevin emailed me this morning. Yeah, speaking of two-point conversions, he emails me this morning and in capital letters, kick the extra points.
You got me beat as to what the... I mean, I've seen... This is something I first saw at Oregon, where they would go out and they would go for 2 points early because they believed in the point value of the play. Now, I've talked, how often in basketball have I talked about the value of the three-pointer versus the two-pointer? But there's a difference in basketball between point value and shot percentage as opposed to 2 points in football. In basketball, if I hit one-third of my three-point shots, that is the point equivalent of hitting 50% of your twos. The example I always give is simple. I take 18 two-point shots. I make 9. I get 18 points. That's 50%. If I take 18 three-point shots and I hit 6, I get 18 points. 33% of threes equals 50% of twos. That's not the story in football. The percentage of making a two-point play is exponentially lower than kicking an extra point. Even though the extra points move back and it's a 33-yard attempt now, you're still getting 85 to 90%. I believe that teams are below that number when it comes to a two-point conversion. I think the only thing that would potentially help a two-point conversion is moving it down to the one-yard line. Because when you're 2 yards out, you're like, oh, all I got to do is get a couple yards here. Okay. Except how hard is it to throw in the end zone when you want to throw the ball when the defense only has X amount of area to cover? Defense only has to cover a dozen yards here. That's it. So obviously it makes it much tougher to throw against something like that. It's not easy. Mike Tomlin has gone for 2 point. Now, weren't the Steelers, 8-11 on 2-pointers last year?
Yes.
Well, I can tell you right now, they're not 8-11 this year. Mm. Todd Bowles was asked today, the Jets coach, about Bryce Petty, whether it's time to evaluate his future. He says, not right now. He played okay. But he's still got to get a lot of things to learn. But you don't learn unless you play. But at the same time, we're trying to win games. Either he's ready, either he's really confused, or he was just trying hard not to tip his hand. It'll be Petty or Ryan Fitzpatrick, it says. Christian Hackenberg is not in the discussion yet, according to Todd Bowles. There you go. So there you go. That's the story on the Jets and Christian Hackenberg. Now let's give the Jets their due here. The Jets are so bad that they knocked Tom Brady out of Sunday Night Football. Did you see that? The Jets and the Patriots were supposed to be on Sunday Night Football. I want to say in December. And instead now they've opted out of that game for the Chiefs and the Broncos. That's how bad the Jets are. the Jets are the reason that NBC went, I know he got Brady, but no. That's bad.
That game ended up 9-6 yesterday. I'm thinking, oh, how can you sit through that?
Well, the announcers are fine. They get paid. So, you know. But the audience, that's a hard one. Hard one. All right. Penn State now. I hope I answered your question about rental at the Jordan Center. It's a little easier for the wrestling team than it is for the basketball teams because the basketball teams have so many areas of rental between office space, practice court space, game space. It does become an expense for them to do it. It is not as much of an expense for wrestling because Cale's office is over in Rec Hall. The Lorenzo Wrestling Center is over in Rec Hall. Well, that's athletics. They have the building. They don't have to rent anything. They would only, when they go into the Jordan Center, they only have to rent the night. Now, I don't know if they have to rent a setup night. That part I'm not sure of. Because you have to set it up specifically for wrestling the way it is in there. You can't just go, hey, let's throw a mat down and wrestle. And it's more to the setup than just that. So they may have to put a rental in for a setup night, too. So it's a little simpler, believe it or not. It's just a question of how it fits in the schedule. And in talking to Cale Sanderson, he really doesn't want to be in the Jordan Center unless he's selling it out. And last year, for example, when they wrestled Wisconsin, it did not sell out. And that bugged him. That bothered him. All right, Penn State football. I mentioned earlier, you know, an amazing weekend. The last time the numbers 2, 3, and 4 teams lost was in 1985. Do you realize who the beneficiary was that year that moved to number one eventually? Penn State in 1985. Eventually, they played Oklahoma for the national championship. Oklahoma won the game 25-10. So now in this particular weekend, number 2, number 3, number 4, number 8, and number 9 all lost. In all likelihood, I expect when the rankings come out tomorrow night, I would expect Penn State to be 8 or 9 in this thing. They are not going to pass out Clemson, Michigan, or Washington. That's not going to happen. They will jump Auburn. They will jump Texas A&M. But I think Oklahoma will jump Penn State. Oklahoma beat Baylor over the weekend, even though Russell got hurt. I mean, Russell did get hurt in the game, the Baylor quarterback. He's out for the year now. And you can debate whether Indiana is equal to Baylor, especially at this stage, because Baylor hasn't played that well the last couple weeks. And you can debate that back and forth despite name brand Baylor and name brand Indiana. Indiana might be every bit as good as Baylor at this time. But I think Oklahoma would get the benefit of the doubt and might jump Penn State this week from 11 up to maybe 8. Penn State might be 9 when it's done. But that still keeps you in the neighborhood. And now there is a path with 2 weeks to play for Penn State. On paper, very simple. In execution, not. You've got to win at Rutgers and you've got to beat Michigan State. And you need Ohio State to win at Michigan State Saturday, and beat Michigan at home a week from Saturday. If the stars line up that way, Penn State's going to the Big Ten championship game in Indianapolis. So you want to get to this stage of the season where you're playing games with stakes. And I've talked about this many times. Nothing more exciting for the casual fan and nothing more exciting for the deep-rooted fan to see games involving their team with stakes. Penn State is playing games now with stakes. They're back on that stage. Now they have to take advantage of that stage. They have to take advantage of that stage. And It starts with the game that they have Saturday night at Rutgers. It'll be senior night, a night game. It's going to be interesting to see how many Penn State fans are there. On Saturday night. You know, they had 40,000 there or thereabouts for the Indiana games. They had about 12,000 empty seats there. Now, maybe because it's Penn State, I don't know.
Hey, maybe a coach will request an away whiteout for tomorrow. Of course, you got the alumni base in New York City. Not far for them to go.
Well, look, there are a lot of Penn State fans are really excited about what's going on here.
Sure,
and because they are, you know, you're going to get a lot of people from Penn State wanting tickets to be at that game.
And there could be some that live in New York that haven't made their way to state college this year.
Now, how this thing is jumbled up, right now on the offensive line. And I don't know yet how they're going to play this. So I don't know. But it is, this is hard. I mean, it's amazing how two positions have been hit so hard. Linebacker first, now that's recovered. And so between linebacker and the offensive line, now linebacker's back to being stabilized and in good shape. But now the offensive line, Andrew Nelson's out for the year. Brendan Mann did not play Saturday. Paris Palmer got hurt Saturday. Connor McGovern got hurt. So Chaz Wright filled in on the right tackle spot. When McGovern got hurt, Derek Dowery played right guard. Gaia played center. Gonzalez played left guard, and Ryan Bates moved from left guard to left tackle. Now, if they can get anybody back this week, I don't know. They may not get anybody back. They may get somebody back. I don't know yet. And I honestly could not give you an answer at all based on last night's practice, because I didn't go to last night's practice. I had a basketball game last night. So, we'll see. I mean, they were really humming with that offensive line based on what you saw the last few games.
I replayed the play, Paris Palmer's last play. I must have replayed it like six times. I'm just trying to see the exact moment where he got hurt.
I don't know. All of a sudden, I looked out. He wasn't out there. I did not see him limp off the field or anything. I looked out. He wasn't out there. I checked the bench. He wasn't on the bench. So I don't know. And then Connor McGovern went out, I think, in the fourth quarter. And same thing. I didn't see what precipitated his exit. I don't know why. So that's, I mean, it's just, we're just going to have to find out. I don't know. But they've got Rutgers this week. Rutgers has a good front, by the way. Their front four is pretty good. Their back seven has struggled a bit, and they've really struggled. They've had a lot of injuries at linebacker themselves and guys out of position. But the front four group has actually been a pretty good group for them. Sebastian Joseph's pretty good. I think Hamilton's very good. Julian Penix-Odrick, not a bad player. Davis, not a bad player. Their front four is pretty good. But linebacker, secondary, has had some moments that have not been great. How about that? We'll take a break. Back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Insuring your business is serious stuff. You don't need gimmicks or cutesy mascots or punchlines. You certainly don't want red tape. You just want the right coverage at the right price. We're as serious about insuring your business as you are about running it. Selective. Response is everything.
Get to know your local Selective agent, Purdy Insurance, on Market Street in Sunbury or at purdyinsurance.com. Find out what Purdy Insurance can do for you.
Take a moment to breathe deeply. Clear your mind and consider your surroundings. Notice the sights and sounds, the scents and textures, every sensation. Are you where you want to be? You can redirect your path at any time. After all, life isn't scripted. It's not about winning the race. It's a journey towards your personal best. And that is the ultimate destination. And the all-new 2017 Lincoln Continental is the vehicle to take you there. You deserve this. Nestle into the serene cabin and surround yourself with the reassuring strength of its forms. From its intuitive ease of the 30-way front seat controls to the exceptional collection of amenities, Continental invites everyone to experience the journey in an elegant new way. Sunbury Motors Lincoln will be there for you and your Lincoln whenever, wherever you need it. Stop in today and experience this impressive vehicle for yourself at Sunbury Motors Lincoln in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza in Sunbury. Purchase any new Lincoln in the month of November and receive one complete detail each year for the next 4 years. Sunbury Motors Lincoln, making American luxury affordable. Check out our inventory at sunburylincoln.com.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Purdy's has served this valley for decades. And I do mean serve, because their customers mean everything to them. And you want to get the best insurance that fits you so you're covered at the right price. And they'll find you the best price. And if something happens, they act as if it happened to them. That's the kind of partnership I want to have with my insurance agent. And Purdy Insurance takes care of it. I don't care what insurance you want. I don't care if you want auto, home, life, commercial, personal, business, whatever it happens to be. They have divisions in Purdy Insurance to take care of all of it for you. It's Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Time now for the sports bozo of the day. And it is the New York Jets. Imagine being so bad that one of the ratings slices of gold that you have, love them or hate them, the New England Patriots and Tom Brady, the Jets are responsible for knocking them off of Sunday Night Football. They're going to be replaced by the Broncos and the Chiefs because the Jets are that bad. Now, you got to be the sports bozo in the day when that happens. I mean, really? That's bad. I'm sorry. That's bad. Don't you think that's bad?
It is. What's good is we have a phone call at 1-800-795-9565. We got Baird checking in from C1's Grove. Had a Penn State football question.
Hey, Baird, how are you today? Thanks for calling.
No problem, Steven. I'm well. Thank you. How are you?
It's great to hear from you. I'm doing well. Thanks for asking.
Hey, I just pulled up the show, so I don't know whether you talked about this earlier today or even on another show and all, but my question relates to the successes of the offense this year. Mm-hmm. We've all fallen in love with Joe Moorhead and his schemes and all, but so my question is, Joe didn't do it alone. He has some incredible talent on that side of the ball. How much of the successes, in your opinion, of the offense this year are related to Joe Moorhead and his program, and how much is the maturation of the talent on the field?
Well, that's an excellent question, Bear, because I think it's both. What's happened is that you had an offensive line. Now, obviously, it's jumbled at the moment, as we know. But now Guy is in his third year as a starter. Nelson had been in a third year as a starter. Mann had been a third year as a starter. Then you add in a young, talented guy like Bates, a young, talented guy like McGovern, to go with, obviously, one of the best players in the country in Saquon Barkley, and a quarterback in McSorley is a good feel for how to run this. So it's a system.
Absolutely.
It's a system, Baird, as I pointed out in the preseason, the system fit the personnel.
so you don't have any square peg round hole situations trying to run this offense. What they needed was time and practical application in games to get it humming at a high level. Well, it turned out that once they hit October, that's when the maturation process of the offense matched the scheme and allowed it to take off and be as good as it's been.
Yes, it makes perfect sense. So my second question then is, and I love Trace McSorley, and I knew when he came in at in the bowl game last year and just picked right up that we were going to be just fine this year at the quarterback spot. And that was before we even knew, or we were sort of assuming that he was going to be the starter. And we didn't know that back then, obviously. But if Christian would have decided not to forego his senior year and it stayed, would Christian have been a decent fit with Joe Moorhead, or have we seen a different offense?
Barrett, of course, obviously it's a speculation question, but there's no way they can run this offense with Christian Hackenberg. They can't.
Because it doesn't have the mobility. It's just a different style. But
I just think that this goes back. Jerry DiNardo from BTN and I had a long conversation about this at practice in 2014. And he said, this is when Penn State was in the teeth of the sanctions.
Right.
And he said, and Hackenberg's out there, and he said, Steve, Hackenberg's a really good talent. He said, but when you're in a situation like Penn State's in, he said, you could steal a game or two if you had a quarterback that had mobility. Well, you're now seeing that the mobility of a Trace McSorley and what it means to make Barkley a little bit better, to maybe bail out everybody when things break down. Take the first touchdown he scored the other day against Indiana. He breaks down a little bit. He ends up scoring a touchdown in that play. Now, everybody like Christian Hackenberg respects his talent, but could he have made that play in this offense? And I'm not so sure he could have.
Yeah, not as likely. That's not saying he would not have, but not as likely. You just don't see him breaking at the same time. It's just a different feel. So, all right, you answered my questions. I suspected it was a lot of that, and I'm pinching myself. My son and I were talking to each other on Saturday, and we just said, we just can't fathom that we are where we are this soon. I figured that where we are right now was another year, maybe 2 years off and all. So who knows how long it will last. I think that we're only getting better and better, and I'm just loving the daylight out of it, and it's so refreshing to have that feel all over again that we missed for the last few years. So thank you for being a tremendous part of all of that. I look forward to Saturday and the following Saturday and everything that's going to happen. And obviously, as a lifelong Penn State fan, I've always had great respect, but never root for Ohio State. But on two Saturdays, I, along with a gazillion other blue and white clad folks, will be huge Ohio State fans, and we'll see what happens. So
it's amazing how championship races make strange bedfellows.
Indeed, my friend. So I'll let you move on. Thank you for allowing me to ask my question. Have a great afternoon.
Thank you for the comments, but also I think Baird reflected the feelings of a lot of Penn State fans. You've endured a lot over the last 5 years, a lot. And I think the number of times that I have given credit to Penn State fans for being an important cog in the survival of the program and giving it the best chance possible to get back to thriving, the fans have played a big, big role in that. Many fans in Penn State's situation, I think across the country, would have abandoned the program that they were following at the time. Penn State fans did. Now, there are other programs, I think, that if this happened to them, the fans would be right there with them. And Penn State, though, is one of those dozen programs that could survive this because their fan base wouldn't give up on them. And I think, above all, to see this, and we don't know how it's going to play out yet. We're all, it's a game-at-a-time proposition. As I said, senior night for Rutgers. For them, this is their big, big opportunity. So, they're going to be fired up for it. And but each game is brought with it now a great opportunity. It, above all, and I feel great, obviously, for what to James Franklin and for the players for what they've done, and I'm thrilled for them. But I'm just as thrilled for the fan base because the fan base has endured all of this. And now, as Baird said, they've regained the thrill of it.
Well, I'll tell you, for some of the fans that were ready to jump off at 7 o'clock that Saturday night after the Michigan game, they needed to talk. They needed to talk to Baird, for sure.
Well, you know, but you know what? But that's why you play a season out. That's why, if you notice, I don't get too high, too low, if you notice, on the show about, you know, where they are and what's going on. I mean, I never have. Used to drive Kevin nuts. That I don't get too high and too low about it.
Well, now you're inspiring me to roll that way now. So,
but I'm saying it's getting
my blood pressure more in check.
See what but what happens is that you play it out week by week. You don't know what the finished product is until there is a finished product. And right now we're 10 games into this, so not even this is a finished product. But the door for something really big and exciting is open for this football team. Now they have to take advantage of it. The great quote from the movie Miracle from Herb Brooks was, "Great moments are born of great opportunity." Well, Penn State now has its opportunity. And now they have the opportunity to create some great moments. So let's see if they can. You know, obviously they're the prohibitive favorite going into Saturday night's game. Then after that, we'll see how it plays out, and we'll see how next week goes and what the conversation is on the Monday next week. But it is an interesting time where now there is a scenario that instead of being a dream, has a level of plausibility to it. That's what has everybody excited. In other words, if this happens and that happens, then this will happen. Well, instead of it being a pipe dream where X amount of teams have to lose and X amount of teams have to win to do it, it now boils down to one extremely powerful team right now winning both of its games, Ohio State, in which they'll be favored at Michigan State. And now with the Michigan situation, I think Ohio State at home may have been the underdog 3 weeks ago. I think Ohio State will now be the favorite at home based on the current situation. And then two games where Penn State is considered the favorite. Got to play on the road on a senior night game. Then you got to play a team that obviously the last couple of years has been tough for them. But the personnel has changed there, and the personnel here has grown up. So now, what was a pipe dream a week ago now has a level of realism to it that everybody's looking around saying, wow, that actually could happen. And it boils down to the results of two teams and not the result of eight teams. If Penn State and Ohio State are tied for first, there is one tiebreaker and only one tiebreaker needed. And that's Penn State beat Ohio State here. I want to make one quick note about that. I have not touched on this, but I'm going to touch on this now. There has been some talk nationally that when they've talked about Penn State beating Ohio State, that it was I've heard the word fluke and fluky used. Okay? The one area they don't address when they talk about that game is if they can explain to me how Ohio State was shut out for the final 23 minutes by the Penn State defense. If you shut out Ohio State for 23 consecutive minutes and give them only one scoring opportunity, of which, by the way, you blocked, and not only that, you didn't tip it, you blocked it, which means your execution was exponentially better. But if you can explain to me why Ohio State was shut out for 23 consecutive minutes to end the game, then I will I will accept your explanation that it was a fluke that Penn State won. It's not a fluke when you shut out a team for 23 straight minutes. It wasn't if Ohio State kept driving down and misfired. Ohio State drove down, missed a field goal. Ohio State drove down and fumbled the ball, whatever. Ohio State, in the last 23 minutes, except for one drive, did nothing with that offense against Penn State. After the Samuel touchdown run, Ohio State never scored again. So if anybody brings up to you, well, it's kind of a fluke that Penn State won. I said, was it a fluke they shut them out the last 23 minutes? Just thought I'd bring that up because I've heard it in a couple spots, and you're like, okay, wait a minute. Like, except for the field goal attempt, they had no scoring opportunities for the last quarter and a half of the game. When Ohio State had a chance to put the game away, they didn't. All right, so that's in the past. Rutgers is distinctly in the future. Giovanni Rusciano has done a good job at quarterback for them. I like the two running backs, Robert Martin and Goodwin. I think Goodwin's a good, Goodwin's a good receiver too out of the backfield. The wideouts, Patton can make some plays. Harris can make some plays. They really missed Jadarian Grant though. He was their big play guy, and he's out for the year. Defensively, I like the front a lot. Darius Hamilton, whose father, Keith, played for 12 years with the New York Giants. If you notice this year, he's wearing his dad's number 75. He was number 91 before. He wears 75 now to honor his father because this is his senior year. He's a good player. Jared Penix Odrick, who's the half-brother of Jared Odrick, good player. Davis on the outside, good player. And so their front's good. The problem is their back seven has been up and down for Rutgers this year. And that's been kind of an up and down group. Sebastian Joseph's the other guy up front. Very, very good.
Dick from Milton had a quick question before we go to a break.
Sure. Hey, Dick, how are you?
I'm good, Steve. Hey, I wanted to ask you about the health of the offensive line. I don't think you covered this. Is there a chance that they could get by Rutgers, I'm not downplaying Rutgers, and get guys healthier by the Michigan State game?
I mentioned it earlier, Dick. I did not get to practice last night because I had a basketball game that was opposite practice. So I didn't get a chance to see, who was out there, who was in street clothes, who was hanging around. So I didn't get a chance to see that.
We kind of talked about it today. I mean, not downplaying Rutgers, but, I don't know the nature of some of these injuries. And I thought, well, if they can just use this makeshift line for one more week and get by Rutgers, maybe they could get a couple of those guys back in the next week, I guess.
Yeah, I think that would be a hope. It's just I don't have a feel or a read for it yet as to, how extensive is Paris Palmer, how extensive was Connor McGovern, and how's Brendan Mann's current state, where he is at the moment? And I probably won't get any kind of read on that until tomorrow night. I'm going to go over to football practice tomorrow night before I do the basketball game tomorrow night. So I'm going to only probably be at practice for maybe 10, 15 minutes tomorrow, but I'm not going to, because I have to go over to the Jordan Center to do a game. But that'll be the first indication I have as to where they are, because I don't know where they are with that.
Yeah, I mean, I know the nature of talking about injuries is pretty limited. I understand that aspect of it.
And can they get by with it? First of all, I thought Bates did a decent job on the left tackle spot. Not easy to make the move over, but he did. Gonzalez and Dowry, as the game went, got a little bit better as the game went. Early on, they both struggled a bit, but then as the game went, they got better. That helps. So that Chaz Wright did okay at the right tackle and Guy at center. There's just going to take an all-hands-on-deck concerted effort on this to make it happen. And part of what can make it happen, Dick, is actually I think the passing game can open up the running game.
Right. I mean, obviously, Rutgers isn't Michigan State.
Right.
We'll just let it go at that.
No,
all right,
I see exactly where you're going. I do not disagree with the premise at all.
Well, we'll see what shakes out on Saturday. Thanks.
Yeah, I appreciate it. We'll wrap it up in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Great to have you with us. We are
reworking on Todd Blackledge for this week, so or next week, one of the two.
Yep, not giving up on that. We'll stay after it.
Maybe this week is better because, I mean, you think about, you know, the SEC, for example, not exactly the marquee week except for Florida LSU, which is a fill-in game. Now, this is the week where the SEC fills in with a lot of non-conference games or bye weeks. So the SEC is absolutely brilliant the way they schedule to make you think it's a big week in the SEC every week. I mean, I'm saying this as a compliment. I'm not putting down what they're doing. They stagger their schedule in such a way where even though it's only eight games, you know, 1 week Florida's playing Tennessee, big game. Meanwhile, some of the other teams are playing non-conference games. Then you've got, you know, another big week. Arkansas's playing LSU, and you got to, you know, and Ole Miss is playing Charleston Southern. It's like, okay, great. But they stagger the schedule so brilliantly, it makes you feel like the SEC has a big game every week until you get to this week. Now, this week was forced upon them because of the hurricane that hit Florida, so Florida's going to have to play at LSU this week. Neither one was in the position to do that before. They had to get rid of non-conference games that were about as exciting as a chair. But, I mean, like I said, give credit where credit is due. They schedule this thing in such a way, and this is the week where the SEC, they have. There are FCS games in there. And okay, it's what they do. So maybe it's easier to get them this week. Although it probably takes more homework to get research on Furman done. I don't know. I don't even know what the SEC schedule is this week. I just know it's a series of games which have all the intrigue of Lint. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Tomorrow, Matt Leon on the Philadelphia Eagles. Rich Scarsella on Penn State football. Nathan Davis on Bucknell basketball. All tomorrow on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
You're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury. You can hear us anywhere in the world with the Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation app.